House Committee on Elections and Reapportionment, Wednesday, May 10th, 1981, 8:30 a.m., Hearing Room F, State Capitol.
Judiciary, that's a good start. Wishful thinking. House Committee on Elections and Reapportionment for Wednesday, June 10 to order.
I'm hurt.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
He just keeps
at least he got him in his place.
He keeps all right. Saying all the same things.
He came running in to grab his seat.
Got to do something to get the committee to
our erstwhile chairman, I understand, is in a Rules Committee meeting right now, but will be down shortly. But the Republicans have a caucus at 10:45. I don't know about the Democrats, but... So we'd like to be out of here between 10:30 and 10:45. So I think we'll go ahead and start with the bills in the order as originally presented. House Bill 2418, the ballot by mail. Mr. Phelps, I understand that, let's see, I think we pretty well completed our dialogue with you the other day, except I think you had I understand you may have a request to make of us on this bill. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I do. My name is Ray Phelps from Secretary of State's office. The request that we'd like to ask the committee to consider is to add a new Section 6 to make the bill effective upon passage, so that we may be able to use the vote by mail procedures as early as the September election. When we drafted the bill and discussed it with you last week, frankly, it didn't occur to us that if it were to be effective in the normal course of events, that we would most likely not be able to use it, but maybe once or twice, and, particularly not being able to use it in September this year. We would certainly like to be able to start as early as September this year, and that's why we're making the request.
If it didn't have the emergency clause, when would the next earliest date then be that we could make use of it?
Well, it, of course, all depends, and I'm not being facetious, it all depends on 90 days following sine die, is the normal. Well, I knew I was going to get that reaction, but that's the constitutional direction. And depending on that, it would be sometime, in October. With an election being in the early part of November, it may even be likely, because of timing and cutoffs and so forth, we could possibly even miss the November election. The November election is the second Tuesday after the first Monday in November. I don't have the date, but that's the language of the statute. And the September election, I believe, is the third or fourth Tuesday in September.
And then you don't get another one for
February.
Or February,
if that bill passes, it actually would be March.
It would be March, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. And that might not be an ideal election to cut our teeth on. So we're really kind of wanting to cut our teeth maybe in September, November. And depending on that, then whether February election is moved to August or not makes no difference at that point.
All right. Are there any questions of Mr. Phelps with regards to the possibility of using an emergency clause to allow them to get online as early as the September date? Okay, are there any, let me just simply ask this, are there any questions of committee members now, other technical questions of Mr. Phelps with regards to the proposed amendments to the bill? All right, I have some other individuals, Ray, that are signed up that I think I will take in order, and then maybe just have, well, you just have you available there and for any questions that we may want to interject as we're proceeding.
May I yep. Let me make one other request, Mr. Chairman, and that is the I would ask the committee to consider possibly moving the bill out today, because we are running out of time, and
I think that's our intent.
Okay, I just wanted to ask. Thank you.
We can never get all our committee members here. I think that's exactly what we intend to do. Nellie Fox.
We've got a quorum already.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I think we're doing all right. We've got enough people, and we'll get it out of there.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Nellie Fox from the Oregon AFL-CIO. This bill has had us kind of on the horns of a dilemma, because as the Secretary of State outlined her participation in the voter registration by mail and by last day registration, her battles with that, we fought right along with her on that battle. Happened to be my first session in the legislature, and that was one of the top priorities. Our national AFL-CIO has always held us up as a shining example of what can be accomplished in election law reform, and has really used us as a showpiece. So it's with mixed emotions. However, the concept of voting by mail is also a very innovative idea, and as the points were made in the previous testimony, that voter participation is where we're falling down, even though we spend a great deal of our time on voter registration and trying to get our members to the polls on voting day, the actual voting record has been dismal. So we have decided that we would go along with this concept, trying to cooperate with the experiment and see how it works, and if we have good results from it, why, we'll again be one of the innovative states in the nation. So good. We will be supporting it.
Thank you. Any questions of Mrs. Fox? Thank you very much, Nellie. Alan Robertson? You want to bring that other character up with you, too, from your county?
Alan's been doing such a good job.
The traveler? I heard so much from him, you know, on those 5 days. Go ahead, Alan.
Mr. Chairman, members of the House Elections and Reapportionment Committee, Alan Robertson, Multnomah County. The main reason I signed up was to plead for an effective date for this bill. I'd like to pick up a comment of Representative Otto's the last time we were holding a hearing. In the complexity of districts for these elections, and truly, if we cannot use September and November, we're out of the water for quite a while, because next March would certainly be a very complex election to try this, and beyond that, it's also in the season of the primary, where election staffs are extremely busy. And the business of the primary might not only wipe out March, but also June. So it might be a good long time before we could safely try this in a carefully controlled situation, unless we are able to attempt it in September and November.
Okay.
I guess I would just make one other comment to you. I think perhaps down the road we're going to find out lots of things if we experiment with voting by mail. Some probably we haven't and can't anticipate. The few that I've been able to anticipate, I see all pluses there. I'd like to respond, even though she isn't here, to a comment of Representative Hendrickson last week with her fear of doing in the last day registration. Consider, if you will, under the present system, that if someone doesn't vote in an election, we have no way to know whether that person is gone, moved, changed their name, or whether they just didn't vote. If we mail them a ballot and it returns, we're going to have a clue that they're gone. We're going to be able to send them a purge notice, which is a registration form, in time for the post office to get it to them. As it is now, when a 2-year period goes by, the order of the post office is normally expired before we mail this out to them. That's one of the reasons we're getting such a low return of those. And I think, consequently, you're going to see a much more stable registration file. I've never had time to really test it in the last 30 days before an election, but normally in our county, and other county clerks tell me the same thing, we have to process 3 approximately registration cards to put one new person on the file. This means that two of the three cards we're handling are simple changes that this system probably will get out of our hair. So perhaps there won't be so much need for last-minute registration as prior. If there's any questions I can help answer, I'd be glad to try.
In other words, what you're saying in part is that, and I think this is what was represented to us in San Diego, was that this really allows you a better chance to purge your registration lists and to keep them more current, which in turn might very well make your registration processes a lot easier.
In my time in elections, Mr. Chairman, the one thing I've seen loud and clear is that our society is more mobile. It used to be people seemingly stayed put longer, but now they're moving. And consequently, they have to re-register. And that's part of the increase of our business, a good part of it. And if we're several times a year sending them a ballot, we're going to know if they've moved.
Any questions of Mr. Robertson by members of the committee?
I have one.
Yes, Representative Otto.
On that point, Alan, you're going to send them a ballot. Would you send that ballot first-class mail so that it would be returned in case there's no one there, or would you go the bulk mail?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Otto, as to exactly what class mail you would call this, I don't know. But it seems to me that that ballot, if it's undeliverable, should be returned. It shouldn't be floating around someplace. If this can be accomplished, as I heard it was, for bulk mail rates in San Diego, then so be it.
Well, I don't think it can be returned under a bulk mail.
Well, Mr. Phelps and
I don't know.
Mr. Radakovich and Del Raleigh can certainly answer this better than I can, but that's what I've heard.
Other questions? Representative Ford?
Maybe Mr. Radakovich would come up and answer. He's been nodding up and down, anxious to say something on this.
Phil Radakovich, Multnomah County, for the record. Representative Ford, in San Diego, they paid 8.5 cents first-class mail bulk rate. This was broken down by zip code by carrier route. And they cost them 8.5 cents, and it was returned. They had something like 30-some thousand returned as undeliverable back to the elections office.
This was all right with the U.S. Postal?
Yes, they had a postmistress in San Diego that was very, very cooperative, that she bent all rules and regulations and made...
Well, are we going to have this kind of cooperation in Oregon?
It's a question we have to contact Mr. Lauscher in Portland to see what his cooperation will be. But in San Diego, it had excellent cooperation. It cost him 8.5 cents first class. If it's undeliverable, return back to the post office. And this was broken down by zip and by carrier route. This is why they got by so cheap.
But this could be a problem, and if there isn't cooperation at all,
in the
various
post office,
different cities.
Yeah, if the post office bulks, you know, at trying to make this go, then we got a problem.
As I recall, the postal people in San Diego, though, were as much interested in the process as I think the elections people were. And they really got some good cooperation. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Phil. Del Riley?
I'll put Ray back on.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Del Riley, Lynn County Clerk, and I have a sheaf of notes here that I'm going to ignore because most of it is repetitive by now. There's about 4 points, though, that I would like to bring out as what I observed there and what I have thought about since observing that election. And the 4 points are, it was an election that was well received by the voters. I think this question was asked last week. I heard and saw such comments over the TV and in person talking with people and the newspapers as this, when asked different people what they thought of the system. These are voters now, some coming to and from precincts, some just walking down the street. "I like to vote at home at my leisure," was one commonly heard answer. "No using my gas driving to and from precincts," was another answer. "No standing in line at precincts." And the fourth one that I heard the most common was, "I didn't wonder where I had to go to vote that day." And those were the four answers we heard and read just about in their entirety, and actually they came, a lot of them, all four of them, from the same people. So that was well received by the voters. An increase in voter participation, that's already been covered. Of course, as we know now, the percentage was up over 60%, and their average for that type of election there was more like 25% when the precincts were open. We also know by now that it was a reduced cost for the overall election, considerably reduced, and also the fact that the system itself, the integrity of the election system, was not forfeited, but as has been pointed out, if anything, it was enhanced due to the signature checking. So without repeating a lot of things that's already been said, I also observed the election there. And what I have learned since I've been in the elections business, I volunteered then and I still volunteer our county now to be a pilot county, or at least to be involved in this type of election, because I am that sold on it and I'm ready to go on it myself. I'll make myself available if you have questions that I can help with or any further information we can provide.
Okay, any questions, Mr. Riley? Okay, thank you very much, Dale. Ted Miller?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ted Miller. I represent the Oregon Special Districts Association, a rather new organization to the state. We take an official position of support of 2418, the ballot by mail. And one of the prime reasons that we do take the position is in 1958, when we first organized as an association, we sent out a questionnaire statewide to all of the mailing addresses that we had available, and identifying that you now have an organization, what is some of the major things that can be done to benefit you and your small special district operations legislatively? And number two, coming back from the almost 200 questionnaires, was the costs of election. So you can see where we're coming from. We would like to see the funding that's raised at the local level, in many instances a combination of ad valorem tax, in some cases user fee, and in many cases social functions in order to raise the funds to provide a service. And it's frustrating to those small units of government to have mandated to them costs that's taking away the dollars that ought to be providing the service of which they were originally organized. I don't think I need to belabor it beyond that, other than to answer any questions about the association, and would encourage the committee to give strong consideration. And we think that we're excited about it because it will leave some dollars in the local community to provide the specific service.
I'm excited about your support. I appreciate that. Any questions from members of the committee? Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. Anybody else wish to testify that did not get on the list on House Bill 2418? Ray, I've got one question then that I would like to ask you. Throughout our discussions on this, I think it was the chairman's and my feeling that that we wanted to put this on kind of on a basis where it was a voluntary basis. In other words, where you had the request in part coming from the district or from the county. In other words, I don't think we really wanted to, at this stage, at least I raise this question, give the Secretary of State's office the power or the authority to pick out a district and say, you shall do it. Now, Is that your concept, or what is your concept of how we set up the bill or the amendments?
The amendments proposed before you, Mr. Chairman, is that the Secretary of State be able to select, irrespective of any particular wish or no wish, as the case may be, those areas for the pilot test. The reason for that is we're obviously not going to take on the whole world if to accomplish vote by mail, but our concern would be a situation where you would have maybe two willing partners and one unwilling partner, and we wanted to maybe advance from a level of 1-2 measures to maybe 2-3-4 measures, including a candidate ballot, for example. We'd like to have the flexibility of saying, well, look, you know, it appears that the county clerk wants it, everybody seems to be in line. If I may trade on a comment by Representative Courtney, you don't want a big turnout, and that's really unfortunate, but, you know, this is the next level that we have to go because we only have these few opportunities, and we would have the election. But if we ran into a situation where you were just simply, you know, nobody particularly wanted it, I doubt seriously if we would entertain the idea of doing it.
At least have a willing county clerk and a willing, and yourselves be willing.
Yeah, pardon me. Yes, sir, that's correct. But the point being that you could easily wind up in a situation where you've got the tail wagging the dog. We could, because it's just, you know, 1,500-1,600 governmental entities out there, I suspect that you're going to have a few that just simply don't want a large turnout, and they would anticipate such in this case. But there are other districts that would, and we'd have a setup in a particular county where it was conducive to try this. You know, we've gone beyond 1-2 measures. We've had good success. In order to make a fair report back to the next session of the Legislative Assembly, we feel we have to go to the next level, and, you know, whatever that may be. And we believe we need that flexibility. Without it, I think we would seriously jeopardize our project.
Maybe that's what it does sound to me on the basis of what Mr. Miller is able to represent to us, that you may very well find, and also what Mr. Riley has said, may very well be able to find more willingness out there than perhaps we anticipate.
Then the flexibility we're asking for would not be an obstacle.
It really wouldn't be
a problem. But our concern would be if we were in a situation dealing with several districts, et cetera, that we would maybe find one unwilling partner out of several, with the ability to block, then the whole thing was shut down. And you know, that is something we intend to respond in a report as to what the triggering mechanisms should be. Conversely, if you were to reserve the right of refusal, then I think you also have to have the ability to request or demand, whichever the case may be. And in a pilot project situation that we're proposing for this committee, I think that might be dangerous also, because there may be areas of the state where it's just not feasible. And then the process and persons involved would appear to be obstreperous, and that's not the case at all. It just simply wouldn't be feasible under those conditions.
Mm-hmm. Questions by committee members?
On a judicial retirement, essentially.
Okay. Any questions then, Mr. Phelps, with regards to any further particulars on the bill? All right. I think we've got a couple of matters then to address. I guess really the first one is the question of whether or not we want to put an emergency clause on the bill in order to allow it hopefully to be used in the September, possibly the November special district dates. Any committee members have any particular feelings?
I would so move.
All right. Representative Ford moves that a Section 6 be added to the bill to provide an emergency clause. Any discussion on that motion? All right. Is there any objection to the motion to amend? Representative Jolin. All right. Tom, would you call the roll then, please?
Ford?
Aye.
Jolin?
No.
Lombard?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Otto?
Aye.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Okay, the bill is amended. Any further amendments or matters with regards to it? Karen, did you have something in the relating clause that I noted on your copy or anything?
That was just changing, it indicated prescribing an effective date, and that was really incorrect because it was a repeal date, and I was just amending it. If you did adopt the emergency clause, the relating to clause, and saying and declaring an emergency.
Okay, we need not take any specific action on that. Okay, I guess Representative Whalen moves the proposed amendments as amended to House Bill 2418. This is the motion to amend the original bill as proposed in the amendments, I guess, that are identified as 2418-4, and as they are further, as those amendments have been further amended with the emergency clause. Any discussion on that motion? Okay, clerk will call the roll.
Ford?
Aye.
Jolin?
No.
Lombard?
Aye.
Mason?
Aye.
Otto?
Aye.
Rutherford?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes, and Chairman Whalen then moves House Bill 2418 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Rutherford?
Before you take the vote, in as much as the Senate Elections Committee has closed down, I understand it was open for a while.
Temporary.
Do you have an idea where this is going to go? Is it going to fall in favorable hands or, you know?
We will be discussing that with the President of the Senate.
I just wondered if you needed a handy Senate bill or something.
Well, we have some Senate bills, I suppose, that if we find that this gets in the dead letter office, that we could look at some Senate bills. No, I believe that these bills will be sent to other existing Senate committees. Any further discussion?
Like transportation.
Transportation.
some similar germane.
That's right.
The President said they will be assigned.
It will be what?
They will be assigned.
They will be assigned.
Yeah, all right. Representative Mason.
Yes, I think we should again thank Mr. Radakovich. I remember it was almost a year ago when he mentioned it to me, and we had an exchange of letters, and it was with that exchange of letters, Mr. Radakovich, that led to Representative Courtney and I introducing the bill. I'm very enthusiastic about it. I'd want to wax poetic, but I think that this vote by mail concept is just essentially an extension of suffrage. That you look at the history of voting in democracy, the bright side of that history has been getting allowing more people to vote and encouraging more people to vote. A long time ago, you literally had to be a property owner to vote. And as we continue on now, we've extended that to non-property owners, we've extended it to both sexes, we got rid of poll taxes, and now this is part of that continuum. And I think it's a good, participation is good, and this bill means participation. That's why I'm very enthusiastic about it. I think it's probably one of the most important things we're going to do this session.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Otto.
Since other people are making editorial comments.
Speeches, Representative Otto, that's all right.
Do that. Anyway, I mentioned this at our Saturday morning breakfast last Saturday, and there was one lady raised a question about the privacy of the ballot. And I explained that I felt that the ballot would be protected. And yesterday I received a letter from another constituent who was there at that breakfast. And she raised concerns about voting by mail. My response to her was that we have been doing it for a long time with the absentee ballot. And apparently no problems have developed. And I just think that this is an expansion of the absentee ballot concept. And I favor it, and I think that might be the response of
someone who, if that question is asked, we're really not setting a precedent. We're expanding what is already being done.
That's the argument that, or the remark that I've made to a number of people who've expressed that concern. And once they start thinking in the context of the absentee ballot, it's really much less foreign to them, and I think more acceptable to them. I'm particularly interested in the concept, ultimately, for some of these special districts that are out in the more rural areas where it may be a little more difficult for people to get into the polls and where the turnouts may be very low. I think it's a great convenience factor as well as increasing voter participation, keeping costs down. So I think that I think it has great possibilities. Representative Jolin?
Since everybody else is editorializing, I think that, frankly, it's a critical right and privilege that we have to vote and as voters. However, I believe that you're going to bring forth a lot of problems, although it is the right of every individual to vote however informed they may be or may not be. I think that you're going to get a lot of folks that aren't going to know really whom they're voting for by doing their homework, if you will, and doing that background work. And also in regard specifically to issues, I believe that many of those folks will continue not to be informed and take that or make that effort to do so. I think we're looking at a road of a lot of trouble, and that's why I shall continue to oppose this.
The other comments? Peggy, the one thing I would say, that one of the things we saw in the San Diego election was when they sent out the ballot by mail, they sent out a sample ballot, interestingly, with arguments pro and con, similar to what one of the bills we sent out of here earlier, which is not met with kindly fate on the other side, but the allowing for simplified arguments, both pro and con. Now, mechanically, how they did that in California and what